When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hey there! Do you like films? Do you like wrestling from the 2000s? Do you want to see a film about wrestling from the 2000s? Well, WrestleTalk are hosting a special screening of Ready to Rumble for its 19th anniversary at the Prince Charles Cinema in Leicester Square on May 7th, 2019.
Wrestling's fake.
Wrestling's not fake!
Myself, Ollie Davis, Luke Owen, Laurie Blake, Randy Andy Datsun, Pete Quinnell, and maybe a few other surprises will be in attendance for a meet and greet before the film.
And then stick around after the screening for a special Wrestle Ramble podcast recording where we'll talk in depth about David Arquette winning the WCW Championship to promote the film and what it did for the wrestling industry.
Would that be raw sewage I'm smelling?
They kind of always like that smell.
If you've not seen Ready to Rumble before, come see the sports entertainment epic The Detroit News Said manages to insult not only pro wrestlers, but also their fans.
Brittany, let's go out again. We'll talk about me and you.
Dude, you're in there.
The Matt-based masterpiece the New York Post called a toilet humor farce proud of its own crudeness.
Your sister shot her first perp today.
That's nice, Gabby.
And if that doesn't tempt you, the Orlando Sentinel said of this barn burner brilliance, yes, film fans, there is a new worst movie of all time.
Any match, any time.
The Steel Cage.
Steel Cage wins.
So come see...
Shut up, Randy!
You're not part of this!
So come see Ready to Rumble at the Prince Charles Cinema on May 7th with your friends at WrestleTalk. Tickets are available now.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis, with your wonderful, wonderful mustache.
So this is this is going up after the video's gone live.
Yes.
Okay, so podcast listeners, if you haven't seen it already, my WrestleMania Wrestle League Season 1 punishment has gone up today, and it's my cover of Sexy Boy, and I shaved my face to have my best Robert Roode moustache that I could. Yeah.
It's good, mate. Mm. I like it.
Are you going to, because you've got a big chin beard, you could get rid of that and also have a moustache.
You know what?
That's a thick moustache you've got.
There have been times where I've been on the tube and because you're underground, you can see your own reflection in the train windows. And I sometimes look and I'm like, and I sort of like put my hand over my chin a little bit, be like, what would I look like? And I've talked about it with my wife before as well, but thinking like, do you think I could get away with just having a mustache? But I think now with the shaved heads, I think I've got to have, the more facial hair I have, I think the better.
Mm.
I think it might have worked when I had the comb over, but I think now to just have a shaved head and just a tash might not be my best option.
I'm trying to think of, well, it's more Dr. Robotnik, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, way more of Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah, that's not a bad look.
Hey, he's cool.
It's
Jim Carrey, he's going to be popular again.
So for the Wrestle League people, it's not just the loser, me, who has to do something, but I've been looking into getting the winners' trophies this week.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to get some trophies sent out to the winners. Who were the winners?
There were four winners, I believe.
German Dan.
German Dan. Names escaped me now. Have you got the list there?
Yeah, you keep talking. I'll find out who they were.
Let's have this email quickly from Connor that says, Dear Jets or Sharks, you decide. Been thinking out of the success of the live stream, you could easily do a watch-along live stream, maybe a set of milestones, or maybe even as a Patreon plug. For example, I was thinking the next pay-per-view that wins the extra poll, you could live stream you watching it. And the Swaff Nation could watch along with you and your reactions. We all just sync up our networks together, and then the Pledgehammers get your review along with the extras number one at that time stuff. Maybe a good little combo to get a few more pledges.
It's a good idea. That would probably come at the expense of the post review though, because me and Luke, our schedules, we watch the pay-per-view separately.
Yeah,
because we can't really sync up. We haven't got enough time to both stop doing what we're doing.
We're very busy people.
Yeah, and our schedule is kind of shared. So if I'm not doing something, Luke is.
Yeah.
I did think about that, but that would involve live streaming the whole podcast. Like, you wouldn't get the Wrestle Ramble Plus podcast in addition.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I mean, they were saying you could like just do it as a live stream, but then you wouldn't be able to get the clips in there and things like that, which is part of the fun, I think, of Wrestle Ramble Extra.
Plus, I think the majority of people will want to just listen to it walking around or in the car. It requires a much more commitment from the listener to like sit down and have a screen there and sync up.
Yeah.
And probably you wouldn't do that all in one go, would you? You'd do like 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. It'd be a nightmare. The winners...
Especially how we record it.
Yeah, there were three, all with 49 points at the top.
That's how they all drew.
Dactron's
what I was trying to think of.
Flev Dorin and Mayor of Painesville Dan.
Dan.
What a rags-to-riches story Dan's had. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride, to win the inaugural season of Wrestle League.
It's impressive. It is impressive.
I couldn't have written that.
No.
Because
he's the Johnny Gargano of the Swaff Nation.
If you told me that, I would have, no, that's unbelievable. Maybe he wins Wrestle League Season 5.
Yeah.
Not the first one. And he did. Incredible.
This email comes in from Chris, who says, Hello, Ollie, Luke, and everyone else. You have too many people to mention for individuals. I was listening to you guys burying the Big Bang Theory on Wednesday's show, and you brought up an interesting point that you said both of your dads love it. As it happens, my dad watches it too, and I believe I know why. The Talking Simpsons host mentioned on one of their Patreon podcasts that their parents also watch Big Bang Theory. They think the reason it has such a strong viewership for the over 50 demographic is because the characters on the show are what they think their children are like.
Right.
So maybe your dads enjoy Big Bang Theory because it reminds them of you, even if the comparison isn't exactly a compliment. Make of that what you will. Keep up the great content. It's from Chris.
I guess have me and my friends around my house when I was a teenager, as background noise, wouldn't have been too dissimilar to the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, you're half paying attention, you're doing something else.
Just talking about Batman.
So maybe parents just miss their kids and put on the Big Bang Theory in the house and just potter around.
Yeah.
That's so depressing.
I think for my dad, though, it's more just a case of it's just the flavor of the month sitcom that he's currently on. Like, before it was Big Bang Theory, it was Two and a Half Men. Before Two and a Half Men, it was Friends. It was just whatever comedy show is on every day in the UK at 6 p.m. that my dad can just sit there and watch for an hour, then that's what it's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, that's my youth. Whatever was on from 5 till 6:30,
yeah,
I'd watch.
Yeah.
I did Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Farscape. That's how I've said
this
before.
That's how anyone watched Farscape.
Farscape was great. I've said this before. That's why I love snooker. Because three times a year, that block would have been changed from Buffy to the World Championships.
Yeah.
And I would just be like, oh, God, it's not what I usually watch. This is boring. But I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to keep watching it anyway. And this is the fun little email from Mike as well that says, Dear Luke, Ollie, Fakador, Chopper, but not that super chat heel, Randy Andy Datson. I've been watching Wrestle Talk for a while now and began listening to the rambles on Spotify to make my commute to and from work more enjoyable.
Are we on Spotify?
We are, yeah. We've been on Spotify for ages.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I finally decided to be a pledge hammer today, and I noticed that the Patreon counter was at 999. It was an omen, a sign, meant to be even. So I joined, checked again, and it said I was number 1,000.
Woo!
I can only pledge $5 now because, like Heath Slater, I got kids. Four of them, actually. Once I became number 1,000, I had to email you. It's an honor to be Pledge Hammer 1,000. Keep up the good work, love the videos and the rambles, and I can't wait to join in on Wrestle League. Thanks again. That's from Mike.
Ah, thanks, Mike.
Good email, mate.
So that's a dad right there.
Yeah.
Does he like Big Bang Theory?
Well, but his kids might be too young, and therefore you're not looking at them being like, my kids are still here.
Well, we haven't proven that that's the reason parents like Big Bang Theory. Is it a certain age of parent, or is it you have a child, boom, something in your genetics makes you appreciate lazy comedy? Because so tired.
I'll message my friend Dave, because he's just had a baby. Mm. I'll ask him to see if he's got a new appreciation for it.
My dad...
Maybe that's why Adam Sandler's so successful.
My dad loves my moustache. My mum hasn't got much time for it.
It's just a bloke thing. That's why Randy doesn't like it.
I think so. My mum went...
Nailed it.
Oh, Ollie. But my dad went, Chappy, it looks great!
It does look Chappy. What are we doing for time? Let's do this quick email. It's a WrestleTalk Get Better from Craig. It says, on April 6th, 2019, I decided to join a local Slimming World group here in Greater Manchester, the greatest city in the world, I might add. Anyway, for the past 4 weeks, I've lost a total of 6.5 pounds by cutting back my sugar intake, eating more fruit and veg, which I don't usually have, which I wouldn't have usually done in the past. Cut out all fatty foods I eat previously, and a very proud moment to try and change an unhealthy diet to be more of a healthy one. Plus, got a pedometer to go out, walk a bit more, and try and lose a bit more of what that rather big beer belly. Love all the podcasts a lot. Great work, guys. Craig. He was Craig of Patreon, so he's one of our pledge hammers.
For everyone who has got no time for inefficient imperial measurements, that's 3 kilograms. In 2 weeks?
4 weeks.
4 weeks, that's amazing.
Good. Look at you on the genuinely the positive bandwagon.
That's so good, Craig. And they say of all the diets, you can every diet that's out there, most of them work if you stick to it. But what do they all have in common? Eat more veg, eat less sugar.
Mm, absolutely.
And that's what you got to do. Keep it up, pal. I believe in you.
That's it's good. It's nice to hear this from you. But let's correct.
But you said Manchester was the greatest city in the world.
I mean, it's not Liverpool,
is it? And we once went there. And there was an abandoned pram in a car park and it was raining. And it's one of the... That's what I think of now, unfortunately, when I think of Manchester.
Also, it's not Liverpool, so can't be the greatest city in the world, can it? It wasn't European Capital of Culture 2008, was it? Anyway, let's crack on with the show itself. We're going to be talking about that old Dean Ambrose situation, but we have got an email in from Mario that we're going to read out after this in connection to it. See what you think. Here's the show. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog.
Breaking. Which is brought to you by our very own goddamn magazine, the Wrestle Talk magazine. Issue 9 is out now to buy from the link in the video description below. You can see Becky Lynch on the front cover right there because it's our annual Wrestle Talk Women's 50, where we rank the top 50 female wrestlers in the world. Spoiler, they're mostly Japanese. They're just better at it than we are. So head over to the link in the video description below to order your copy now.
Good intro, mate.
I felt
though that was powered by your excellent moustache.
Yeah, so if you've tuned in and you're like, huh, last time I saw Ollie, he didn't have a moustache. Well, I advise you to go back a few hours and see my WrestleMania Wrestle League Season 1 Predictions Punishment. I came last out of me, Luke, and Laurie.
And just to clarify as well, don't go back in time. Just go back a couple of hours in your own YouTube feed. You don't actually need to jump into the quantum realm in order to see the video.
Yes, yeah. That's the miracle of video on demand these days. And I thought it would be funny to shave my face into a moustache to get across the comedy of the sexy boy cover.
But it really suits you.
I like it too.
I think it really suits you. Yeah. I know, like, Andy Datsun was not keen.
So we used to have a cat And I grew really long hair at university, came back, and the cat saw me, didn't know who I was. That's what's happened to Randy. He looks at me, who are you? Where is my master?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it suits you, man. I think it's got, you really like fit in now. We're in Hackney.
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a hipster tash.
Oh, it totally is.
I put on my girlfriend's glasses yesterday.
Did you look like Rivers Cuomo from Weezer?
If only. No, they were more tortoise shelly, large ones.
Right.
And looked even better.
Yeah.
I looked even more hipster.
So it's a shame you got your laser eye surgery then. You don't need to wear glasses anymore.
I just have the no lenses in. Just,
or can you undo corrective eye surgery?
I'm sure I could just jab myself in the eye.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre, Dean Ambrose style.
It's possible.
Which brings us on to...
Segway!
Oh! All the Segway power is in here. It wasn't in here. It's already bristly.
It, I know, man.
It's
yeah.
not 24 hours.
No, you yet. Shaved... Like, so if you watch the NXT ramble, there was a moment when Ollie Davis came in and we all went, oh, but we couldn't talk about it. That's what we were reacting to. That was our live reaction to the reveal. So yeah, that is less than 24 hours later. Muggins over here can't grow... Like, this is... Like 3 weeks? No, 2 weeks worth of like facial hair growth on the side of my face.
Mm. I'm like the that famous movie that everyone knows, Evan Almighty, where he shaves and it pops back the very next second. Mm. Not the Santa Claus movie.
No.
Or, I mean, no one knows it from then.
Also, it was a joke in The Simpsons, like way back when.
Evan Almighty did it best. But Dean Ambrose, his WWE contract expired at the end of April. So, at the very first possible opportunity, which is midnight, is it midnight on April 30th or is it midnight May the 1st?
I just thought it'd been midnight April 30th.
Right. So the one that's at the end of the month. So April is finished. Dean Ambrose posts under the John Moxley Twitter account.
He joined Twitter. Dean Ambrose hadn't been on Twitter previous to this. He was quite famously off all forms of social media.
Mm. So he joins with John Moxley. The crucial part of that name is that's what he used to wrestle under before joining WWE. He made his name in hardcore death matches, really, predominantly in CZW. He wasn't really a guy who came through a Ring of Honor or an Impact, TNA as it was back then. Yeah, it was
CZW, British, please.
Mm, yes, sorry. and there was loads of stuff about, well, this Dean leaving thing could be a work or he just wants time off. Dave Meltzer reported in the Wrestling Observer a few weeks ago that the belief backstage in WWE is that Ambrose is going to retire from wrestling.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's young. He'll probably come back in a few years. So the very first opportunity to join Twitter and post this video we're about to watch and react to, that's like, that's...
Yeah, it was kind of crazy because we've discussed on this show before, he's done interviews in the past where he says, yeah, when I leave WWE, I'll do one last death match in CZW and then I'll retire. I'm going to just go off into the woods like Thanos at the end of Infinity War. I'm just going to go off to a shack in the middle of the woods and I'm just going to sit there and watch weird plants grow. And that's what he was looking to do. And yeah, here we are. He's it apparent. Well, okay. So do we want to get onto the conspiracy theory that it is still a work? And
what, to debut him in NXT?
Well, yeah, so...
Should we watch the video first?
Then we'll jump into the conspiracy theories and everything, yeah.
I mean, the production values right off the bat are phenomenal.
Like it looks like a WWE movie.
Yeah, but like something they would never have had the creativity to make.
What are you talking about? They did that Vendetta movie where Big Show was in prison and he beat up Superman.
I sit corrected. So when I first watched this, I thought... those guards were people. I was like, was that Seth Rollins? So he's literally breaking out of prison. It's quite a heavy-handed metaphor. Yeah,
it's a metaphor, and then he's going to go and try and scale this fencing here.
Chased by a big dog.
Yeah, because there were those rumours that Roman said in interviews he's going to convince Dean to stay.
Yeah, I love how he rips his arm off the barbed wire. And then, like, yeah, now I'm in the ring, I'm serious. There's a shot here where he's walking back to the camera down a street. And it sends shivers down my spine. This one.
Yeah.
Just the way he's hunched over.
Hunched over, yeah.
Those shots don't look as good, the chin-ups. M.
O.
That's significantly Viper Dice.
dripping of blood, barbed wire around the fists.
Mox.
The return of Hardcore Dean.
Yeah, so that's... I mean, Mox does sound a bit like a Guy Ritchie movie character.
It's Mox. He's called Mox.
He's Mox. Why is he called Mox? Well, he's going to mox you up, isn't it? He's going to mox you. He's going to hit you on the ding-dong.
And now, here's a funk song from the 1970s. Works with your tash.
Yeah, it's an incredible promo.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it seems to have been quite split in our office, though, because while you and I thought it was quite good, housemate Simon and Laurie thought it's quite rubbish.
I don't think they... So that Screen Grapple debuts tomorrow, which is their new series where they just... Mox stuff. Nice. And they, I don't think they disliked it. I just think they thought it's just Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, Dean Ambrose has debuted his new character, which is Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. And if you're going to be cynical about it, that's probably a criticism. I'm so overwhelmed by how cool it looks and the production values and the idea of the Dean Ambrose we've always wanted. Like, we don't want the lunatic fringe.
Wacky line. Remember, that was the move name for a while, the wacky line.
Was it?
Yeah, you know where he springs back and then springs forward with a clothesline.
Oh, my God. One of the worst wrestling experiences we've ever had is going to a taping of Monday Night Raw in London, and Braun Strowman had suddenly been injured just a few days before. We didn't know that yet. So they rewrote the show, and they put Dean Ambrose as the wacky general manager.
What was rewritten on the day? Yeah. A weird world.
Well, you know, things have changed since then. And Dean Ambrose was the Raw GM, and it was just such a crappy nothing show.
That was the night where I realised what 3 hours truly meant, which was we got to the end of hour two, and we were like, no, that wasn't too bad, because they had like a sort of a big main event style thing at the end of hour two, and we were like, do you know what, that wasn't too bad. Well, you said that wasn't too bad. And so I paused and was like, oh, there's still that Dean Ambrose mismatch to come. That's only the second hour. We just sort of slumped back in our seats going...
So I think it's not a hot take to say Dean Ambrose was not misbooked in WWE because, you know, one of the members of The Shield. He did have that feud with AJ Styles on SmackDown for the first brand split, the James Ellsworth stuff. Like, he was booked as a main event star.
And always protected.
And always protected, yeah. But not to, you know, not to the level of Seth and Roman. And also, he was the one that Vince McMahon obviously saw and thought, well, you're wacky. Mm-hmm. And we all wanted Brian Pillman, edgy, unhinged, in a PG environment.
Which is what he clearly wanted to do. That was his style of wrestling. That was the character that he was trying to portray. Even within The Shield, he was always like, he's the loose cannon of this group, as, you know, Brian Pillman-esque. So it always felt like that's what he wanted to be doing as well. But yeah, you're right. Vince was like, no, you're the wacky one. Also, you're definitely not the one who's getting a main event push. You are. You're the upper mid-carder we've got of this team.
And we watched WrestleMania 30 a couple of weeks ago, and that's the Shield match versus Kane and
the New Age,
Outlaws. And that's a 2 months before they broke up. And watching Dean there, when I think of Dean now, I think shaved head and this current look.
Prison Dean.
Yeah, Prison Dean. But this is with the long hair and how frantic and crazy he was.
Yeah.
And those original Shield promos, like, I always thought he's the one I'm most engaged in.
Yeah, he really was the standout of that group. Because he was never pushed to be the standout of the group, he felt like the standout guy. And he felt like the one who was so different from Seth and Roman. And when they were split, I remember, like, when the Shield split and they were like, okay, we're going with Seth as a guy for here a while, but really, Roman is the guy. But this is when the fans completely turned against Roman. And Seth was doing fine as a heel, but then he went out injured. But they were still like, we're still going with Roman as the guy. And I was listening, Wrestling Observer Radio, every single person under the sun was just like, Dean's the guy.
Yeah.
Like, the crowd are so into Dean Ambrose. And this, like, there was a big, big push, a big surge of interest from fans getting behind Dean. And it was like, yeah, it was like the Becky Lynch thing. Like, all the wrestling, you know, outsiders and wrestling fans going like, well, Dean's the one we like. Dean's the one we want to see push. And they were just like, no, fingers in ears. We're going with Roman.
Yeah.
And we don't care about Dean.
There's a, and then I really think it was that period of time where Stone Cold Steve Austin had his podcast on the network and Dean Ambrose was a guest.
Yeah.
And Dean didn't want to do it. That's not his thing. Have you ever listened to his... I think he did an Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana. And it's just fascinating. Like, he is just... No, I'm legit a private guy.
Yeah, that's why he was on Twitter. That's why he wasn't on social media.
I just don't talk about that stuff. And you like, I always think as you're a wrestling promotion, you've got these really talented people working for you as wrestlers. They're going to have ideas. And sure, not all their ideas are good, but you want these ideas to filter up to you and that so you don't become stagnant. And I just see like how Ambrose has made this, well, Moxley, I guess we should call him now, how he's obviously created this vision of his promo, I mean, potentially to join AEW, that seems like the very logical guess. And he had all of that in his head. And this feels like nothing I've ever seen before in wrestling. This feels like what I didn't know I wanted wrestling to be this.
Yeah.
And have this level of awesomeness.
So... Should we jump into the conspiracy theories then?
Let's go. Or should we say the AEW stuff first?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go with that because I think that's the... I like you, I think that's the more logical direction. But I'm not going to go down the... I shouldn't have said it's the more logical direction. What I will say is it's the direction I would like to see this go down. Because if the conspiracy theorists are correct, I'm so less interested in this promo package.
Well, for the AEW stuff, obviously, just right off the bat, enormous production values. This is, you know, this is a great, great video package. And it's not going to be... I mean, Impact kind of film their stuff like that, but I don't see them having bought... Ring of Honor don't do this. It's not going to be CZW. This isn't like a PAC situation where he goes back to WrestleGate because that's where he made his name. They don't have the budget for this. Unless Dean's put his own money in.
Or it's a case of that AEW have funded it, but because he's taken bookings throughout June. That's what is in the Observer this week, is that he's got, and it's not specifically with AEW, it is various different promotions around the US. So it could just be that the eventual goal is that we're going to be at Double or Nothing, but let's get you on the independents now, but we'll pay to do the big promo package.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can build up momentum from that.
Exactly.
Like all the stuff Cody, the Bucks are doing in using in the promotions to build grassroots support.
Yeah.
It's inspired. It's fantastic. But the first thing we see, there's loads of prison-style scratches on the wall in blocks of five to count time past. The portion that's lighted adds up to 25.
May 25th.
Which is Double or Nothing, AEW's first official pay-per-view. Then later on, Dean walks past, apparently it's a street in California where the Viper Rooms is a thing, and it's a woman with two dice beneath her. Those dice say on the wall have two and five on, 25th, and the dice are very symbolic for Double or Nothing because it's in Las Vegas. It's been used in the marketing material.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's called Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
They've got a big old gambling feel to it to sort of tie into the Vegas.
And that isn't a mistake. Like, if you're thinking, yeah, but you just walk past the wall. It's like, yeah, well, a lot... I wouldn't say... Of everything you can say about this, I don't think you can say it's not very well thought out.
We were sort of moxing at the start, saying like, oh, it's a bit of an on the nose metaphor of him legit, like figuratively breaking out of prison. It could have just been that they walked past that and be like, oh, I didn't think of that actually. We were so busy focusing on the prison thing that I didn't think to look at what's on this poster or how many scratches are on the wall.
So I would legit put money on Moxley going to AEW just off of this. I think it's you know, not a sure thing, but I would say it's a thing.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about these conspiracy theories.
So the conspiracy theory is it's too well produced for it to be something that Dean has made himself.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it has to be a WWE production. And I said that it looks like it's done by a WWE Films group. Like, it has sort of that feel to it, that sort of After Effects, we're going to put sort of like fake... We're going to make this look dingier than it was when it was shot, just to make it look feel more dark and gritty. So there are people who think like, and it was produced like, somebody was like, it's been produced too quickly, like from him leaving. So, and there was a rumor, there was a report that came out last month, I think, which was that Dean is going, but he's only going for 6 months, and he's going to come back, and it's going to be a freshening up of the character.
So there are those that believe that Jon Moxley will debut in WWE in 6 months' time. And that's what this video is there for. Dean leaving, and that's why they gave him the big hero send-off. That's why they announced it on the website. That's why they weren't hiding that Dean is leaving. They didn't extend his contract like they have with Luke Harper and Pac and Rey Mysterio. So I think there are... It's like a lot of really good conspiracy theories. There's a lot in there that makes you go like, do you know what? You might have a point.
Otherwise, the conspiracy theory wouldn't gain traction.
Yes.
It's when all conspiracy theories have that moment where you go, huh. And the one for me when you just said it was... They treated him well on the way out.
They gave him the big hero leave. Yeah,
so, I think that is strange.
For me, and we were talking about this when we were down the pub the other night with Louis and Randy.
Lewis.
Sorry, yes, you're right, absolutely. Lewis. Bless his heart. And they were like, they were sort of both on the bandwagon. I think Louis certainly more than Randy, that it's a WWE thing. He's going to go back to WWE.
Wow.
But for me, I think that's a terrible error. I think, and the example I gave to him was that, well, it's the bar. It's you say we're doing a title unification match on the Raw after WrestleMania, and what we give you is the bar.
Mm.
This is just like, we are going to give you Jon Moxley, and he's going to go out and he's going to go to AEW. What you're getting is just Dean Ambrose again, but with a new name, and he's not going to, and it's in a PG environment, so he actually can't do any of the deathmatch stuff that he's teasing in this video. It's just Dean's back, but he's called John now. That is such a letdown. That is, I would have rather they not bothered. Mm. Like, that is, because all he's going to be is just the exact same thing. And it will just be a sanitized version of what he wants it to be. He'll end up doing hokey S-word stuff that he didn't like when the reports came out back in January, that's one of the reasons why he was leaving. He didn't like any of the gas mask stuff and or getting injections into his butt and whatnot.
And turning heel the night that Roman announces leukemia diagnosis. I thought it was... I like that episode.
I'm still on board with that. I think it was a great idea.
But Dean personally, and I can totally see why, was reportedly very against it.
Mm. Yeah, and you could see why, absolutely. So yeah, for me, if this ends up with him being back in WWE, like that's a bit of a letdown.
That has like 2%... authenticity in my head, that conspiracy theory. It's too out there. I don't think that's the way it is at all. I don't think WWE would fuel the belief that people want to leave WWE right now, especially one of their top stars. Because I really think the Dean Ambrose leaving reports was a huge shift in, oh, crap.
We can go?
This AEW WWE thing is way more significant. Because before then you had the Revival,
The Kanellis, Ty, Kenta.
I think Ty was after that.
Ty was a couple after that.
But Kenta, yeah. And it was, so no one big, but when Dean happened, you're like, oh my God. And all of a sudden, the Usos' contracts are expiring soon.
Yeah.
Over here, you know, all these little things
Sasha
happening.
Sasha Banks. Luke Harper.
Yeah. So I first of all, that's one reason I don't think WWE would have run a fake he's leaving angle when they're legit concerned about everyone leaving their company. And Bully Ray said this on his radio show with someone else. And he said, just going by the way WWE operates, they have spent so much time and money building up the Dean Ambrose name, a name that they own the rights to. Why would they then bring him back under his name that he owns the rights to, and not use any of the previous stuff?
Yeah.
It just business wise, how WWE does it, it's not in their MO.
Yeah, or it's a case of we've been seeing this with WWE as of late, them offering out contracts to guys that possibly could have left. Jim Ross, I think he was on Busted Open Radio, said that he suggested AEW bring in a guy from WWE. You know, there's a guy in his 30s, he could come in, really help some of the younger guys out. Also, he's never featured on TV. And he was told, can't get him, he's just signed a new contract for $500,000 a year. Because WWE are now trying to sign up as many of their people that they can so that they don't go to AEW. Or, in the case of Harper, just tying them up in sort of contractual loops so you're just sort of stuck in perpetuity and you can't go anywhere. Is this a case of, The other one, Goldberg. Is the reason why Goldberg's returned for the Saudi Arabia show is because WWE didn't want him to go to AEW. That's why The Undertaker's back. That's why Kurt Angle's been pulled from StarCast and pulled from, he's been pulled from WrestleCon as well. It's because WWE didn't want him going elsewhere with the possible option of him going to AEW. Is there an argument to be made that Dean was like, I'm going, I'm done, I'm gone. And they were like, what is it you want? And he said, I want to wrestle under my own name. I want to wrestle like this. And I want to do this and this. And it's like, fine, as long as you don't go, that's what we'll sign that deal. Well, yep. You go away 6 months, you come back, we'll debut as John Moxley, and you'll have creative control over your character, or you'll have a modicum of creative control, because I don't imagine how much creative control you can have in this business, or in this company at the very least. So is there an argument to be made for that?
There is. There is an argument to be made for that, especially if you add in Ambrose turns up on the newly revamped SmackDown on Fox. There is an argument to be made for that. However, the argument that it's just AEW is massive. I look at that. I think it's quite a clear-cut answer. It's AEW. They're just a tiny, tiny voice, insignificant voice, is going, yeah, but maybe it's this really convoluted, contrived ruse by WWE.
Hey, man, I'm just presenting.
I know.
I'm just presenting what other people said. Apparently, I'm bitter because people thought it was a work.
It's not work. He's not going to WWE. And I don't care. Like, play that clip back to me in 6 months when he shows up on SmackDown, because I believe it right now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Should I keep the tash? Because I like this more than the ad that we just saw where I had a beard.
Yeah, I think it suits you so well. what did your lady partner think?
She hates it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. She hated it. She wouldn't kiss me when I saw her. She just went, nah.
Right, anyway, it's time for Crab Gimmicks. If you're thinking to yourself, what the heck is a Crab Gimmick? Well, that's a segment we do here each and every Saturday on the Wrestle Ramble magazine version of this show, where you, the Swaff Nation, send to us your Crab Gimmick submissions, and then we, the bookers, name promoters of Crab Gimmick Wrestling, decide whether we want to sign them or not. So close. If you want to email them in, it's luke@wrestletalk.com. One more time, luke@wrestletalk.com. Huge backlog. We are starting in August 2018. In fact, August 18th, 2018.
It was a hot summer.
But we're also picking them at random throughout. But this one comes in from Savin, who says, the Emos, E-M-O's, are a five-man stable consisting of various characters who represent the five emotions. Their colors and characters are the same as the ones from Inside Out, and their physical profiles all vary as shown below. Each one has a unique look, all have their own finisher, which individually is not very strong. However, when they tag, their tag finisher is called Schizo, for schizophrenia, in case anyone is wondering, where they perform all of their finishers in succession. Promo work is on point, as each member expresses their character. Their music is Cult of Personality. Below is each member's profile. Happy, Joy, is a plucky baby face, 5'10". Finisher is Joyride, a pop-up buckle bomb. Somba, sad, is a face, large round fellow, a la Big Daddy V with a singlet, 6'3". Finisher is the Depression, which is where he sits on a grounded opponent.
I like that, that's good.
Rage, for anger. Heel, shredded, think Ryback, 6'5". Finisher is the pounce or spear. Panic, for fear, is the face, heel, James Ellsworth type frame, 5'7". Finisher is free fall, goes up to the top rope, gets scared, and then just falls on the opponent. Panic prefers to be the manager, as he can distract the ref out of fear for his teammates. And revolt, disgust, I thought you were doing
that. No. Just I'm thinking this. I'm also enjoying my chin.
Oh,
I can't stop touching it.
I thought you were like the Rascals in Impact doing that. And lastly, revolt is a heel, average size, 6'10" guy. Finisher is disgust. Sting, Tajiri missed into a low blow with distraction from panic.
I wasn't sold on this at the start, because in my head I was just like, yeah, but it's just Inside Out. But halfway through that, I was like, this is L.I.J. Especially when we got to the end with disgust. I'm like, well, there's evil. Yeah. He can be like, the idea of fear being the manager, that's a really nice twist to it. The only thing I'd change would be, you said that when they all come together, I would book them stronger individually. I think they can get over by, like, win matches by themselves. But when they come together, oh my God, they annihilate everyone.
Yeah.
Five-man tags, I guess, apart outside Survivor Series.
Yeah.
But that would be a fascinating elimination
War
story.
Games.
Oh, yeah. And every time someone
Poor
gets
games
eliminated.
That'd be for us.
That's good. Every time someone gets eliminated, that would change the emotional makeup of the team.
Yeah.
So you can have all these different combinations like joy and anger. What does their combined style look like? But yet, you said that their finisher is in succession. I want combos.
Mm.
I want combo ones. So for a pop-up powerbomb for joy, say if, I guess, Sad is on the top turnbuckle, they leap over and they end in the depression of the pop-up powerbomb.
Yes.
So that would be... And that's like joy and anger on your face.
Yeah, and that's one of the ideas the New Day had. I think they said this in an interview, where they actually wanted to sort of change the name depending on which team, which of the trios was sort of there.
Huh.
And the trios themselves, or the two versions of the trios, would have their own finishing moves.
Mm.
So like if it was Big E and Xavier, they would do the Midnight Hour or the Up, Up, Down, Down. But if it's Kofi and Big E, they would have a different tag finisher.
That makes total sense. Yeah. I like that. I'm not changing the names, but I really like this.
It's good. It's very, very good. Up next, we've got Dylan, who sent in on December 9th. Dear Ollie, Luke, and Laurie, thank you for this channel because there is no way I could will myself to follow WWE without you. My wrestler is Ali David. He is a tall, thin British man who watches and reviews all matches in CGW. He is often seen in backstage segments where he talks to fellow wrestlers about their match and how he could improve their in-ring work, mic skills, or character work. As Ali comes down to the ring, he will wear his signature leopard skin jacket, and on big events will pull out the Wonder Woman inspired Wonder Ali outfit. As part of his entrance, he will sarcastically yell at crowd members, and he'll say his signature catchphrases, "Ooh, Wendy," and "Who really is Byron Saxton?" Ali works a very technical style in the ring, and when he has the advantage, he will taunt his opponent by telling them where they went wrong. His finisher is a jackhammer, which he renamed the Pledgehammer.
yeah, this is good, obviously. I see what you've done here. It's a play on Luke.
Yeah.
And the only thing I'd change...
But I could say why it's not a play on me, though, because he didn't write handsome in the description of what he looks like.
I wouldn't have... If you're going to do a proper riff, a proper trolling gimmick, it shouldn't be Wonder Woman. It should be Batgirl or Captain Marvel, Ollie.
Yeah.
Or Ali. and yeah, it should. Everything should have been slightly wrong. So, yeah. Ooh, Randy.
Yep.
Who really is Chad Gable? Yeah.
Yeah.
All those bits.
And this last one comes in from Emma Hartnell, sent on April 4th. Hi, Luke. Et al. My idea for crap gimmick is Mama Payne. Mama Payne takes no nonsense, but in a manner of more. Oh, do you want to help me with this word?
Oh. Alacrity.
Alacrity?
No, that's wrong. I recognise the word,
so you want
but
this.
I couldn't tell you how to say it or what it means.
Apparently, it's for brisk and cheerful readiness.
Well, there's a word I didn't know I needed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If only we knew how to say it. We could use it in a sentence.
Alacrity.
Then absolute... Oh, it's another word I don't know. She's grumpy...
Castigation.
But, thank you very much. She's grumpy. I've got an English literature A-level. She's grumpy, but
I
she wants
Emma
the best
does
for
as
you.
Well, by the looks of this.
That's definitely English language, this. Mm. She's grumpy, but she wants the best for you. She wears a bodysuit with tiger stripes across the tummy section in homage to all the mamas in the world and struts the arena to Crazy Horses by the Osmonds. Her moves are ones she has taken from other wrestlers before they do themselves a mischief. GTS is now lights out time. The curb stomp is now the naughty step, and the Shining Wizard becomes MDP, Mother's Day present, to name but a few. The kookiness doesn't stop outside the ring gear either. Whatever size your wardrobe is wearable merch, you get two sizes bigger because you'll grow into it at some point. Hope you like it. That's from Emma Hartnell.
I'm going to take a stab in the dark. Emma Hartnell is herself a mother of children.
Yeah.
Because this was a very positively written mama gimmick.
Yeah.
I like it, though. We don't have many baby faces. And this would be a good baby face addition. I feel like she takes no nonsense.
Yep.
A lot of sass in
Absolutely,
Mama Payne.
Yeah.
And also, I was raised on the Osmonds. My mum is obsessed with Donny Osmond. So, yeah, like, crazy horses, the Osmonds,
yep.
Mum. It all comes together in my head. Yeah, this is very good.
Very, very good. So, do you want Mama Payne? Do you want Ali David? Or do you want the emos?
This is the strongest week we've had in quite some time. Mm. I'm going to say no to Ali David right out the gate because there could have been an extra layer of trolling that was missed out on. I love Mama Payne, but I think the most developed and one with most potential is... forgotten.
The emos.
The emos.
Yeah, the emos it is.
Huh.
And if you want to send in a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon and leave a comment in the community section. Do not email me, I'll just lose it and you won't get your question answered. I'm very bad at my job. Thank you to Mr. One, who sent in his own fancy book in Warfare on Gargano and Cole. We're not going to read out here because it is lengthy, but you can go over to Patreon and read it there yourself if you'd like. But this question comes in from Captain James Dillon. He has a potpourri of email topics to say the Worlds Collide, the lady person's edition, is on the network, and I was wondering if any of you intend on watching it.
I didn't know there was one.
Yeah, they've done a very bad job of promoting the Second Worlds Collider they did.
I'd say I'm pretty across what WWE are doing.
Yeah.
And I don't know this. What about just a normal person?
Did they, did you know they did one which was like the future and past of NXT?
Yes, yeah. That was the Luke Harper Dijak match.
Yes, yeah. That's on the network now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did a lady person.
I did not know there was a lady one.
It was, Raw, SmackDown, and NXT UK. And NXT were sort of clashed. I think they had Nikki Cross against...
That's where she is.
Yeah. Yeah, on there she's, like, credited as SmackDown. But who knows where she is at the moment. Kylie Rae was on there as well. I think they did Viper versus Zelina Vega.
Cool.
Match, which would be good. He's also asked, it's pretty good in my opinion. The one thing that stood out for me was Mia Yim on commentary. She did really well alongside Vic Joseph and Aiden English. Oh. I'd like to hear how you think she rates compared to Beth Phoenix or even Renee Young. Sadly, we haven't watched it, so can't comment on that one. Yeah.
I haven't watched it, but knowing how much I enjoy Renee Young and Beth Phoenix's main roster produced commentary, yeah, it was much better.
Yeah.
Mia Yim was much better at commentary.
I'm really excited to see how Beth does in NXT, where she's not being overproduced.
Yeah. Is she genuinely bad? Or is she just bad because that's the way she's produced on the main roster?
Like Renee Young.
But she did do commentary for Evolution, and that was an NXT...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was. It was basically a Triple H Stephanie production.
But I don't remember her being terrible on that show.
But she did have your least favourite line from the whole thing.
What a warrior! Yeah, you're right.
Juan Gabriel has emailed and say, I haven't posted on here in months because I've been extremely busy with school and work. I want to tell you guys that you've helped me through it all. Not sleeping for days, and I've been listening to your podcast and the news. Thank you so much for being amazing and keeping me accompanied indirectly. I have an unpopular opinion. I think Johnny shouldn't have won the NXT title just yet. Adam Cole should have won, and they could have furthered the Ciampa Gargano storyline by hinting that Johnny cannot win without Ciampa's help. Then have Johnny chase after any title and have him lose his opportunities. Then if and when he wins, it's because Ciampa interferes. My question, do you think Johnny's win was done at the right time?
I think this is a testament to how brilliantly they've told that story and built those characters over such a long period of time. And that is, that idea you just suggested is great. The idea that they went with is also great.
Yeah.
There are probably a bunch of other routes they could have gone down, also really great. I was really against Gargano winning in that match. The whole crowd are against Gargano winning in that match. But it is such a great last fall that Gargano wins a round.
Absolutely.
That's, like, I think that performance shows you he is the best babyface working in WWE.
That live stream was so fascinating because, like, we were watching it and the crowd were not into Gargano. They just wanted to see Cole win.
They were booing Johnny.
But Gargano is such a good babyface that he turned that crowd around, and that crowd then only wanted to see Gargano win. And I remember, like, when we did our predictions, I think we all had Cole down to win because we thought that makes so much storyline sense and you can have Gargano do the chase. But then when you have Gargano standing on the ramp with Candice LeRae, and then Ciampa walks out as well. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. And we said on the live stream, God, they made the right choice. Mm. That was absolutely the right choice.
How has Gargano been on NXT?
It's been good. He's still tied up with the Undisputed Era. But, like, at the moment, though, he feels like a backdrop to their own, because they're sort of imploding.
With Roddy, yeah.
They're actually going to be going in a split of Roddy and Fish versus Cole and O'Reilly.
Hmm.
Which could be interesting. Dylan Reeve asked, what do you think is the most underrated NXT match of all time? Balor and Neville from TakeOver Rivals springs to mind for me. They did a four-way. I think it was called NXT four-way as well, which was, I think it was
Breeze,
Neville, Zayn, and I think Tyson Kidd.
That was, if that's the match I'm thinking of, that was the first time where I was like, oh my God, NXT's great.
NXT TakeOver.
Yeah, and that started my love affair with Breeze too. I'm sure there's so many, but the one that jumped to my mind is, weirdly,
was Tyson Kidd,
Bobby Roode versus Ty Dillinger at NXT TakeOver Toronto.
We did it off the Patreon podcast. What a great match.
A match that has no right to be as great as it is, but that crowd is so into Ty.
Yeah.
They're so... Bobby's Canadian, isn't he?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. They're set against Bobby. Great entrance for Roode.
Yeah.
And just a perfectly told story.
Yeah, it was like the peak of 10 being the most over thing in the company.
And in ring, it's not amazing. But storyline-wise, I guess it's closer to a dream match in that... A Velveteen Dream match in that way. I love that match.
Do you want to hear what else was on that card for NXT TakeOver Fatal 4-Way?
Come on, then. Are they all Fatal 4-Ways?
No, it's not. The Lucha Dragons, Kalisto and Sin Cara, defeated The Ascension of Conor and Victor to win the NXT Tag Team Championships.
And I bet that was a really good match.
Yep. Baron Corbin defeated CJ Parker.
In 3 minutes.
Oh, 29 seconds.
Oh, okay, so that was back when they were doing the counting.
The crowd would count along for how long the match would go.
If we only knew Baron Corbin.
Enzo Amore with Colin Cassidy defeated Sylvester Laforte with Marcus Louis in a hair versus hair match. Bull Dempsey defeated Mojo Rawley. And Charlotte...
I liked Bull Dempsey.
Yeah, and Charlotte defeated Bayley.
Well, that is... I bet that was very sports entertaining.
Yeah.
I think the main event would have been the more NXT as we see it now.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Right, next question. Craig asked, were the Click good for business in the mid-90s due to some of the stories you hear about them burying people? Not for that reason, I would argue. Were they good for... No, in a sense, because I think Nash in particular, and this is not a slight against Nash, these are his words, more or less, is that for him, wrestling was just about making money and doing whatever you could to make the most money, and that's all that really mattered. Like, when he's asked the question, who's the greatest wrestler in the world, he'll say, Hulk Hogan is. He made the most money.
I guess Brock Lesnar now, right? Surely Brock is overtaken.
Yeah, this would have been about like 10, 15 years ago, yeah.
You know what? They weren't. But it's close. Because I keep coming back to how Scott Hall and Kevin Nash really revolutionized the entire business with how they went into WCW and they made wrestlers employees. Not employees, but like you got guaranteed contracts money. With a big television network.
Hogan would have had that as well. Hogan got that when he first signed.
But this was like, it changed when they jumped across.
Yeah, because they were WWF guys. Like Hogan, Savage, Piper, et al. They were already out to pasture, but they were then signed to these guaranteed contracts. Hall and Nash were like, they were the big sort of blows of like, oh my God, we just lost these two guys. You could argue the Lex as well. But I think Hall and Nash were the ones that really were the first big warning shot.
Mm. And they really changed stuff for the wrestlers themselves. However, that went under. Any good they did, which was in self-interest, like it was not to change the business for the better. It seems to be for self-interest. But that's a major factor of choking that company to death. And then all the positive changes they made for the industry sunk with them, because then you had a worse state of affairs coming out of it with just one market leader who could dictate whatever terms they want for the people who they contract.
That, and Sean was not the most likable person in the mid-90s. You know, she's like, I just don't want to lose.
We got Brett versus Austin, though.
He gave us
that.
But we did also get Sid versus The Undertaker, which was diabolically bad. Josh says, what are the chances the Money in the Bank theme song is Vince's alarm clock?
What is Vince's alarm clock?
Well, I think he's asking, is it money? Money, money, money.
Oh,
money,
right.
Money, 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 money.
You get how I heard that question wrong.
Yeah. Noah asked, with the news that Road Dogg quit WWE over writing frustrations with Vince, do you think we will see more writers getting fed up with his antics and leave or possibly even walk out / strike? Well, I don't think they can strike. They're not a union. They're not unionized. That's a bad thing. But I could see more. You've only got to look at the Quit Man. What's his name? Evans.
I can't
remember his first name now. But it's just like, I'm done. Like, this is ridiculous. I was going to be fired because I had Bret Hart say Vince McMahon's name in a Hall of Fame speech.
How do you not say it?
How do you not say it? And like, he was going to get fired over that. And to just add insult to injury, then Triple H and his cronies go out and just say Vince's name over and over and over again because they think that's funny that this guy's just lost his job.
Mm-hmm. I think quite a few people have already left. So,
yeah, we just don't hear about it very often.
Yeah, like there's such a high turnover rate because the hours are awful. There seems
Traveling.
To be no creative reward. Yeah.
Dwayne says, hello WrestleTalk / Screen Stalker crew. I've got two questions that don't really relate to each other. First, are you guys still planning on airing that Mastermind quiz show that you released a preview of to Pledgehammers back in November? Well, yes is the answer.
Yeah. We need guests.
Yeah.
It's quite logistically difficult to get people to the studio.
Absolutely.
Just do it in the way we want to do it.
Yeah. And second, I'm fantasy booking here. Would it be great to see Daniel Bryan return at Money in the Bank when Kofi retains his title as a deranged, delusional, and unhinged Daniel Bryan, giving Kingston a vicious and reintroducing his hempy weight championship?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the idea of him still having the hempy weight championship anyway. And just carrying that around saying, no, I'm the Planet's champion.
He's the Planet's champion, yeah. He didn't lose that match.
Yeah, it's like Taz with the FTW belt.
Yeah.
Steve, went Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, then Steve. I would like to see the following suggestion on the main roster, but since this isn't likely, here's a new idea for 205 Live. What if they invented a point system? What if for every match, whomever won could either A, give a point to themselves, or B, take a point away from their opponent? Get enough points, get a title shot, have too few points, you risk getting fired. Suddenly, every single match has stakes and drama, and even the most boring of matches becomes relevant. What are your thoughts on my idea? Keep up the good work.
I think it's a great idea. I maybe not in that way, but I, yeah. how do you give stakes to everything? You create some form of league or not tournament, because that's more knockout, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But yeah, like a league-based thing where there are points. I like the addition of, you know, will I take this point for me or do I tactically use it to knock someone else down?
I think the problem with this, though, this sounds like the sort of idea that TNA would have had during the Hogan Bischoff era, where they'd have introduced
the rankings,
it.
Yeah.
It would have lasted for 2 months, and then they'd have got bored of it and stopped doing it.
Yeah, that's where I'm apprehensive about it, because every time it's been done by a major wrestling promotion, they've screwed it up.
Yeah.
But in the idea itself, I think, is good. But in practicality terms, the stupid companies have the patience to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite of that TNA one was when they introduced it, was like, we're going to push those guys based on who you vote for in online polls. And Nigel McGuinness kept winning. And Eric Bischoff did not want to push him, so he just had him lose all the time. And that just made people vote for him even more.
Do you remember the SmackDown top 10?
Do you remember when I said, this is going to be great because this can build storylines and add to characters?
Yeah.
Yeah. How foolish I was.
That,
Optimistic I was. Derek Jones asks, it seems like every match or segment has to be about a rivalry or a belt, resulting in people having the same variation of match for months on end. Instead of that, should there be more random matches without direct involvement of the belt? Nikki Cross versus Liv Morgan, Luke Harper versus Tyler Breeze, or even someone like Nakamura having a match against Rowan, where you can paint Nakamura as being strong. Right now, it feels like there's only a handful of people that exist in WWE at any given time, and not a league of people facing off against each other. NXT can do it, as did WCW. And with 3 hours of Raw, I think it would fill time better than segments like Moment of Bliss. Or would lack of story, granted it is WWE's writing, keep you from being interested?
So what you're saying here is that all the matches on WWE TV are really repeats of the same two people going against
each other. So he's
saying
just shake it up a lot and have people facing different people all the time. And they don't have to always be for storyline purposes or for belts, but just going out there and having good matches.
It ties in quite nicely with the previous suggestion from Steve.
Steve.
And then that's a nice way to cycle out people so they're not on TV every week, because you use the full depth of your roster more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Connor Going asks, aside from Walter versus Trent Seven, which potential matchup from Super Strong Style 16 are you most looking forward to? Anything with Chris Brooks, anything with Kyle O'Reilly. Banks is there. The women's four-way should be
Banks
really good.
Match. I'm just looking for... To be honest, I'm going to be too drunk to know what's going on.
Yeah, if you are at Super Strong Style on Sunday, we're going to be there.
Woohoo!
Arbel asks, is Drew McIntyre in danger of being Bray Wyatt? He's very impressive on TV for most weeks, but never wins a feud worth mentioning. Is he being booked out of relevancy?
I think that's already happened. It's not fully done, but...
We're getting there.
He was on such an upswing, which really peaked with that Kurt Angle match where he really dominated him. I was like, okay, here we go. And then just lackey. Baron Corbin lackey for 6 months. Boring WrestleMania match with Roman.
6 months thing might be a bit of a stretch, because I think he did the Kurt Angle thing in January or December. But
That was like November.
Is it really? Good Lord. I'm very bad at tracking time. Which is my mistake. I think Drew McIntyre might... I'm hoping this is going to be... Crikey, November 5th.
November 5th, yeah.
Bloody hell. I'm hoping that this is not going to be one of those guys that in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, we're going to look back and go like, God, they dropped the ball. Like we did when we recently did WrestleMania 30 for our Patreon podcast. Mm. We were looking at John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. And we were like, God, Wyatt should have won that. And Wyatt losing really did kill a lot of that momentum that he had.
Yeah.
Lorenzo says, to Luke, what did Ryback say to Randy? Very, very awful. He called him like subhuman scum and all this sort of stuff. It was very, very unnecessary.
Yeah, massive overreaction.
And to Ollie, have you seen Big Brother US or the Canadian version? Did you see Big Brother UK when Bear won?
Bear?
How Bear's driving, how can that be?
My Big Brother, I haven't seen the US or Canada ones, but yeah, my era of Big Brother was seasons 1 through 5.
Craig.
Yeah, Craig, who won it first. But it really peaked with Nadia, I think her name was Nadia, but she was a transsexual winner.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was Big Brother 5.
Because Big Brother 4 was infamously boring. So they put every kind... They just hot-shotted the promotion for Big Brother 5, and it was just glorious TV. Like, there was this homophobic Asian guy and this trans... There was two, like... camps.
Yeah.
They get like the guys called themselves the Alpha Males.
Ugh,
and then the other one was like Marco's Harem. And it was just like watching faction warfare. That was where someone was kicked out for throwing a plate at someone.
Oh, yeah.
It was and my friend.
And we thought the drama was only going to be like the height of Nasty Nick. That's when it's going to be like. But then it just sort of managed to ramp it up.
Yeah. And there was Chicken Stew and Michelle. Do you remember that?
No.
She gave him a hand job under a table. I loved it. Yeah. So, yeah, long answer.
Well, don't remember Bear. John says, hello, Ollie, Luke, Laurie, Pete, and also...
Don't read it.
Sorry. Given how poor SmackDown's tag division is, what would you do to change it? Would you create a new weird team like we've seen with Miz and Big Show, The Bar, Rusev, Nakamura, Santino, Kozlov? And if so, what would your suggestion be? Or would you call up a team or two from NXT like the Street Profits? Or would you do something unique and properly book a team like the Fashion Police?
I would take a team back from Raw and focus on Xavier and Big E. I don't know how long Big E's out for.
They haven't really said.
I thought I read something that he's back. He's not, like, not for ages. I'd make Xavier and Big E like a full-on tag team act. Mm. That's what they do all the time.
Yeah.
And they're, rather than these six-mans, they're, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think doing an NXT call-up is the right thing because we've had a lot of them recently. And I just don't think adding more new people is going to fix this issue.
Mm.
I could certainly see them throwing people together and just sort of Franken-teaming it.
I hate Franken-teams.
I hate Franken-teams either, but I think moving AOP across from Raw,
yes.
Or like, you know, the Superstar Shake-Up is still going on, so like, I don't think it would hurt to move someone back or move someone else across.
A 205 Live team, surely, put two of those guys
together. Yeah, that's not the worst shout in the world. I mean, it sort of feels like an NXT caller, but sort of not at the same time, so I don't think that's the worst idea. Or, as I've been saying, merge the tag divisions. DX Solo says, hi guys, I was wondering, do you think matches would be more dramatic and tell better stories if every kick out wasn't at two? If two counts were more rare, I feel it would add a nice bit of drama when they did happen. Also, do you find it a bit annoying that that no holds bars extreme rules matches aren't really different from each other, but they just have the same name? Yeah. It's, and street fights as well are the exact same thing.
Mm. But that you wear denim.
Well, that's the idea. Is you're meant to wear more denim. And like an unsanctioned match is basically these matches as well.
No, unsanctioned is a much bigger storyline deal. Because it's so dangerous or something, or they don't want these two to fight. The governing body steps away. This isn't a sanctioned fight.
Then why is there a ref there?
Well, yeah, exactly. It's just not done right in WWE.
Yeah. But do you think that everyone kicking out at two devalues the two count?
Totally. I feel like I was brought up on the structure of match, particularly, I just remember it vividly, William Regal matches on Heat, was you beat down a guy, you go for a pin, one, kick out right away, kick out. But then as the match goes on,
you wear them down.
Then you start to do kick outs at two, and that's when, and then fight, and then you get a few really close near falls.
Yeah.
But the last decade in WWE in particular is just right out the gate, two counts, near falls. And it saps away the enjoyment.
That's why wrestling matches don't matter on Raw. That's what it feels like anyway, Raw and SmackDown. It's just people pop for entrances, they pop for finishes, and that's it. And lastly, Assange says, do you think it's still justified to get excited about NXT call-ups? With the main roster track record over the last few years, I'm personally dreading the call-ups of Velveteen Dream, Gargano and Ciampa and Undisputed Era already, just because I know they'll be ruined.
Yeah, last year broke me.
It was a bad year for NXT call-ups because I did the video over the Christmas period of like ranking the NXT call-ups. And I was like, this is actually very difficult because it's just like, which one was the least worst? Like it was just going through, I was like, this is, and Drew was the only one. I was like, Drew's successful because at least he's had a storyline.
Yeah, because you think the period after WrestleMania 34, Andrade, Sanity, Drew McIntyre. Was it Ember Moon as well?
Ember Moon, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, yes,
the Iconics.
I'm really excited for these people. But then by the end of the year, and the on their way to WWE stuff. I'd argue I was even excited about Lars when he was first teased. Okay, cool. But when they did the on their way to WWE thing, I was just like, no, you don't know what you're doing with them. And then when they did the four out of nowhere call-ups of Ricochet, Aleister Black, Tommaso Ciampa, and Johnny Gargano, I was like, that's it. You've ruined it for me. I'm now scared for NXT call-ups.
Remember at the time when people said you were being too negative about that? And,
I do remember.
Yeah, you just need to be more positive about this.
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, one guy's out for a year and... Yeah, they don't. One's been dropped.
Yep. So we've had, I was just trying to sort of counter them. We've had 12 NXT call-ups this year, I think, because there was the on their way, then
which
the four.
Which was six.
Six. Then there was the four, but two of them didn't come, so that's eight.
Is it six or seven?
There was, Heavy Machinery.
Which is two.
Lars.
Nikki.
Lacey Evans. And EC3.
Three, so six, yeah.
And then you've got Ricochet and Aleister Black.
Four. So ten.
We didn't. Why? How did you get
that? And it's Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano.
But yeah, so technically 10, but those two didn't come up in the end. And then we've had the War Raiders, that's 10.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any other NXT call-ups in there? Kairi Sane, that's 11.
Kairi Sane, yeah. Shows what a great job they've done. Let's just say 11.
Let's say...
Just above 10.
Mo.
Yeah. And none of them have worked.
That's too many people to call up at any one time. Mm-hmm. That's a silly number of people to call up within 4 months.
Yeah, and I can't wait for two more months of Aleister Black doing the same promo in a dark room,
mm-hmm.
and Ricochet to be the feed guy for Braun Strowman in big man matches.
Someone pointed out as well, and I didn't even think about this at the time, but last week, Robert Roode beat Ricochet, and then the following week, Ricochet was announced for Money in the Bank, and Robert Roode wasn't even on TV. Cool.
Cesaro beat Cedric Alexander. Where's Cesaro been? Or Cedric Alexander?
3 hours is just not long enough, Morley. That's the problem.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you for joining us. Go over to the link in the video description below to get your copy of the WrestleTalk magazine issue 9. It's just come out. It's got the WrestleTalk Women's 50 in there. Go on, so just give us a random number.
Oh, how has All Elite Wrestling fared during its formative months? And what does the future hold?
And more men.
Greg Lambert reports.
Greg Lambert's great.
Yes, yeah.
A random number in the WrestleTalk 50.
Oh, sorry. I do apologize. I stopped listening to you, I'll be honest with you. I think I've missed it. Where are we? Where's the WrestleTalk?
It's just so many content.
There's so much content. Okay. Let's go with 22. Tessa Blanchard.
Sound like you're calling bingo. Give me another
22,
one.
22. Tessa Blanchard. Sasha Banks, 17.
Well, yes, so go over and order your copy now. It's well worth the read.
Although I have just realised that Dean Ambrose chat's about half an hour sort of like removed. So we had that intro.
Oh, you've done it
then
again.
The Dean Ambrose chat, then half an hour of different stuff.
I don't think this is a cohesive listener experience when you go from the intro straight into the outro.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say I've got a pod poll.
A pod poll?
Pod poll in the outro.
Mm-hmm.
What's the better shave? Luke's head or my beard?
Oh, come on now. You're just going to win, aren't you? That's an unfair one. This email comes in from Mario. He says, "What's up, Luke, Ollie, and he who should not be named? Always enjoy the podcast and really enjoyed the live stream content over WrestleMania weekend. I'm writing in about the exit of Dean Ambrose and the way it was handled. Literally, as soon as his contract expired, we got the awesome Jon Moxley trailer teasing his return to his indie gimmick. Do you think WWE was aware of his plans, and did he get one over on them to avoid having time added to his contract? Now he was out for the majority of 2018 with an injury. I had to believe that if WWE knew he was going to remain in the business and work for potential competitors like AEW, they would not have given him the hero send-off he received after Mania. Maybe they were hoping he comes back to WWE at some point and wanted to have one last Shield moment, but it all seemed a bit odd. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Have a great day. Mario in Tampa, Florida."
Yeah, that is, it is strange. Like, because wrestling, very few things are secret in wrestling. But if anyone's going to be secret and keep a secret, it's probably Dean Ambrose. He's a very private person.
Mm-hmm.
But like a production of that extent, I find it quite hard to believe that that didn't get out somewhere in the very leaky world. It's leakier than a high security council meeting in Theresa May's government. Boom!
Oh! Satire! Eat that! Political!
I'm here. Have I got news for you? I'm right here.
Is Mock the Week still on the air? We've got a new person to go on.
So there's that element to it. And also the send-off. But because the send-off was mostly nice, you know, they did bury Dean a bit near the end, but that, like, that's what you do on the way out. That's kind of, you go out on your back, putting someone else over. And the Shield thing, the big send-off, the special on the Sunday night, that was really just a network special. So it wasn't like they gave him a big segment on Raw saying, wish you well, mate. Mm. Hope to have you back soon. So that is weird. But sometimes Vince gets... He behaves differently towards different people. Like, he's always admired Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And he's always, even if Ric Flair was leaving back to WCW, he'd be like, sorry, man, it didn't work out. So, but, you know, here's a nice send-off. And whatever he does elsewhere, whenever he comes back to Vince, he gets treated like a king.
Like royalty.
Yeah. So I don't know if Dean falls into that bracket because he's part of the Shield. And they obviously...
made them a lot of money.
Yeah, he obviously holds so much weight in Vince's mind for that.
So, you know, we started doing barbershop window emails where people would email in about disastrous haircuts they've had or just haircut experiences they've had.
Yes.
We got this barbershop window email in here, which is very different to what I would ever expect the barbershop window segment to produce.
It's evolving.
He writes, hello, Luke, Ollie, and Andy, may the Lord have mercy on your soul. Years ago, I used to work at a customer service center. One of my colleagues was also a hairdresser and very attractive to boot. We used to flirt a lot. I asked her to cut my hair. Remember as well, this is written in sentences, but then it breaks down into a new line. So it almost reads like a poem.
Mm.
In fact, it could be a poem. I went round to her house. She gave me a very good haircut. Afterwards, we decided to jog. This became a regular thing. Go get my haircut on the basis that we would jog afterwards. I saved money, got my rocks off. I used to hate getting my haircut. Now, not so much. However, I can't help but think there's an element of prostitution in this. But hey, I believe morally, I'm golden. Anyway, I absolutely love your podcast and look forward to tuning in every week. And I absolutely love the WrestleTalk Extra podcast. Keep it up.
So there used to be a, in the noughties before this sort of thing was deemed culturally ridiculous.
Mm.
There was a hairdresser's in Scotland called A Little Bit Off the Top. And it was a topless hairdresser.
I don't remember this at all.
You do?
No, I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, well, it would occasionally pop up in like funny Tarrant on TV segments and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but it had to close down because have you ever heard of like when men get their hair cut because it's quite short, those hairs can jump off and go on the hairdresser and then grow on them.
No.
Yeah, it's quite a common thing in hairdressers. So. If you're a hairdresser that wears a low cut top to reveal a bit of cleavage, then my friend used to be a hairdresser, well, she still is, and this happened to her. She got an ingrown hair on her cleavage.
Oh no!
From someone else's head.
No.
So this hairdresser's, which famed itself for having exposed skin, loads of exposed skin near where you're getting your short hair cut, yeah.
Crikey.
Think of the ingrown hairs.
Jeez. Oof. Do you want some 80? Do you want some 80% facts?
No, I want some.
This one comes in from Reese. Good morning to some combination of Luke, Ollie, Laurie, possibly Chopper. Do we acknowledge him? But probably not that no good Randy Andy Ratson. I've recently come across what I believe to be an 80% fact that happens to be wrestling related via the How To Wrestling podcast. Thanks for the recommendation, Luke. It's been an absolute pleasure to listen to. I apologize, you've likely heard this before. So we all know that Brock Lesnar is married to Sable, right? But do you remember the story of how they got together? The story is apparently somewhat concerning, coming potentially from Brock's autobiography via the memory of Kevin to the ears of a slightly distracted Welshman who doesn't quite check how true things are for the fear they might be 100% fact. The story goes that Brock is not a man who takes no for an answer. He approached Sable and told her they were going to date. She said no. He did this again. She said no. This happened enough times that she had a restraining order put against him, but we all know Brock cannot be restrained and, quote, romantically, not my words, broke into her home and confessed his love for her. And apparently, this was the moment where she decided, yeah, this is the guy for me. So that is the 80% fact. I hope it is in the 20%, but I don't want to check just in case. Comes in from Reese.
Such a female move, isn't it? Just making you chase them so much until you have to break into their house and
grab a knife. And
wow.
Have you heard that story before?
No, I've heard that Brock Lesnar went up to Sable and said, I'm going to date you. Like that really cocky, arrogant thing. And then either next year or 6 months later, they were dating. I haven't heard the restraining order thing. Mm. And I think I would have. Yeah, I mean, that's quite serious, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. It's a weird world, wrestling, sometimes.
Should we check that one? I feel like this is something we should put to bed.
We'll put this one to bed. Do you remember when we were at the Something to Wrestle show at Fight Forever and Bruce Prichard was telling that story about Vince and Shane McMahon, about Shane McMahon getting his ear pierced? And he told this, I would say, harrowing story.
Mm.
And everyone thought it was hilarious. And the three of us stood there, mouths agape, to being like, oh, that's not funny at all. How are you getting on?
Yeah, well, nothing is coming up even close to that.
Okay.
So I would say that's not true.
Phew, that is good to know. Here is another one. This comes in from...
He's a lucky guy, though. Jesus Christ.
I'm going to say this comes in from Seif.
He won. He didn't just win wrestling, did he?
Says, dear Luke, Oliver, El Trusty, Fakador, Laurie, Blake, and, of course, our old mate Pete. Yep, that's about it. I have a nice barbershop window story for you and a couple of 80% facts. Firstly, a few weeks ago, I went to my first ever live wrestling show in London. I was going with a few friends and a few lady people friends, so I wanted to look good. I decided to go get a decently expensive haircut at a slightly upmarket hairdresser, which are rarer than you think here in Oxford. My hair is black and fairly short with a small quiff at the front. Mm-hmm. I usually do a 3 on the back and on the sides and a 5 on top and tell my man to slowly trim away at the front until it's the right height. Excuse me. This time, I decided I was going to go for something different, and I felt I could trust the hairdresser since I was paying him a rather large sum of money for this one haircut. I tell him that I need to look good as I possibly can for a night out with some old friends and lady people. He says, all right. I close my eyes and let him go at it. It takes a couple of hours before he gets me to open my eyes.
Whoa.
And what I saw in front of me was what I can only describe as a mixture of blonde and black worms on top of my head. He had dyed the tips of my hair blonde, cut all my hair at the same level, and combed it back to the point where it was almost flat on my head. I'm a very basic man. This was the least me haircut possible. I received some very positive comments, but I absolutely despise it. I'm still unsure whether or not to try and reverse it and go back to my normal self because everyone is telling me that I'll grow to like it. I basically had to pay £85 to turn my hair into a two-dimensional creme caramel. I mean, crikey, that's not what you want to hear, is it?
I mean, surely you thought something was up, though.
When you had your eyes closed. Or unless that was their choice, be like, I want to be surprised. I'm going to close my eyes.
And no,
like,
but you've had your hair cut before.
But that sounds like a long time to
have
your eyes
closed. 3 hours?
Yeah, that's a long time to have your eyes closed. And 85 quid, crikey.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I feel like part of the blame's on you there, my friend.
Mm. Anyway, here is this 80% fact that I find really interesting. I heard from a doctor that... I'll try this again. I heard from a doctor I was getting a testicular checkup at the regularly handling and checking testicles makes anyone, male or female, straight or gay, have a far, far more intense sex drive.
Getting your testicles checked?
Getting a testicular checkup that regularly handling and checking testicles makes anyone, male, female, straight or gay, have a far, far more intense... I mean, I don't think it makes females with a far more sex drive because they do not have the testicular parts for the checks.
But why would the checkup do anything?
I don't know.
That's just seeing what's
going
on.
And I'll be honest, because I have had checks for testicular cancer before... And I don't think that's the case. Mm. That certainly didn't happen for me. So, no, I'm going to say no to this one.
I had a blood test this morning.
I know you did. How far in advance did you book it?
2 months.
2 months. And what happened?
I had to make my... So I'm very scared of needles, everyone. I know it's irrational.
It's not irrational.
Yeah, I guess you could, like, a needle could kill you or inject you with a horrible thing. It was when I was young, that it scraped my bone, apparently, or, like, it got stuck in the muscle. I had some bad experience with a needle, haven't gotten over it. She did it. I could barely feel it. And I'm looking the other way. that my girlfriend's just talking to me, saying, "Yeah, we're going on holiday to here, the Santorini. Think about that." And we're going, "Yeah, we're going to the." And I'm just trying to talk to distract myself, and I just started the black volcanic ash beaches. So I'm just saying random sentences, and yeah, I nearly cried.
Oh,
I got so
mate.
Worked up, it was like 20 seconds max.
Yeah,
and the first 15 I was okay, and I was like, "Yeah, it was ridiculous."
Oh, mate.
Irrational fears. People can send in their fears.
What happens like when you've got to go somewhere that's quite exotic and you've got to go get your jabs?
I've never
done.
Been anywhere that exotic.
When I went to Thailand, I think I had to get 3 or 4 jabs. And I've had to get another 3 done for going to Peru.
Yeah, I've never been anywhere. It's like it's kind of on my list of if I need an injection to go there,
yeah.
Probably not going to go there.
If there is a possibility I might get polio,
yeah.
I'm not interested.
It's like, I'm never going to India because everyone who goes to India gets food poisoning.
Yeah, Delhi belly.
And I don't want that. Like, I don't want to spend 3 days of my holiday thinking I'm going to die.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not going to go there.
Anyway, that is all we've got time for on that rather pooey note. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week with the Raw and SmackDown reviews. And on Monday, we're going to reveal the winner of our Prince Charles Cinema Whoa. Ticket giveaway competition. Remember, if you want to enter, all you've got to do is answer the question, which WCW pay-per-view featured the triple-decker steel cage that was featured in Ready to Rumble. So send it in to luke@wrestletalk.com. I know what my email address is. With the subject heading PCC Comp. Thank you to all of you who have entered already. We're going to reveal the winner on Monday ahead of Tuesday's screening. Have a great weekend. Go check out our interview we did with Johnny Impact. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.